Thank you very much, Greg. I am so thrilled to be backstage with our soloist, Hélène Grimaud. Hélène, that was a fabulous performance.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It was so exciting. And, you know, it's such a challenging piece, technically, rhythmically, but I have to say, you seemed like you were enjoying yourself out there.
Thank you. That's one of the best things I can hear. It's always the case with this orchestra and with Yannick together. It's really quite miraculous. I love them so much, and it's such a privilege to be able to make music with them.
You know, Bartók wrote so much music for children. He wrote about 85 pieces called for children, and then his 6 progressive volumes, Mikrokosmos. Did you play these pieces when you were a young student?
Indeed, every single one of them, along with the Brahms exercises. I was made to work on all volumes of the Mikrokosmos. So the music, the language is quite familiar to me. And also so wonderful to think that the piece was premiered here 73 years ago, I think, right? 46, yes, February 46. It's just marvelous to be doing it with the colleagues here.
It's such a great connection. And what elements do you find in the early work for children that you studied that show up in this concerto?
Well, the syntax of the phrases, if one can say that, the rhythmical cells, also some of the harmonies, of course, the simplicity but extreme beauty of the melodies. You know, it's interesting for all of an artist's and a creator's evolution throughout the years, there is a core element of themselves that is always there. And even though, you know, that piece was one of the very last ones he ever wrote with the viola concerto, it has this really unusual serenity. It's very, very graceful, almost neoclassical. Still, the music builds up to some tremendous levels of energy and thrill and excitement, but it has, it's almost of a mystical nature, of course, in the second movement anyway. It's like a pagan benediction. And of course, with that central section, this, you know, probably the last Bartók's evocation of night music. But a lot of these elements are also present in the lyricism of the first movement. So it's quite a special piece.
It really has so much depth and meaning. And when you think about Bartók as a man going around the countryside in Hungary and Transylvania, Romania, with his colleague Kodály or by himself, so passionate and so devoted to capturing that folk music before it disappeared. Why do you think it was so important to him?
Perhaps something to do with a sense of identity, of culture, of also perhaps his relationship to nature and the people in German you would say, this Urkraft, because he was so close to nature, even though he was born a Catholic, but became, I think, in his early adulthood, an atheist, and was apparently often marveling at the miraculous order of nature with great reverence, and perhaps traveling through the countryside, meeting the people, the folks there, was part of his mission to preserve what he could probably tell would one day get lost.
So much of his history is moving. For instance, when he wrote this concerto, he was terribly ill with leukemia. He was a refugee in America, not terribly comfortable here, and suffering financially. Does knowing this influence your interpretation of the piece or when you're bringing out its emotion, for instance?
Yes, one cannot help but think of his personal situation at the time he was writing the piece. And it's true that apparently shortly after arriving in the U.S. in 1940, the first 2 years were difficult. He did not compose much. And I think, thankfully, owing to the Koussevitzky's commission of the Concerto for Orchestra, it really sort of rekindled a lot of his old spirit and creativity. And so we can just be so thankful that we have these pieces composed in the last 2 or 3 years of his life. And of course, this concerto was, I think, meant as a birthday present for his second wife. And there's something even more touching about that gesture.
You are a human rights and an animal activist. What do you think about Bartók's decision back in the 40s, late 30s, to criticize the Nazis and fascism and jeopardize his own career?
well, that's the ultimate sign of greatness, you know, what the Germans call civil courage, in the sense of simply the courage of expressing your opinion and not letting things go unsaid, and having the courage of those opinions and using your voice. That's more than laudable. That's admirable. So,
do you feel you have to take similar risks in your own career by your activism?
No, really, the world in which we live now is such a, for some of us anyway, such a favorable world, even with all of the dangers and the extremely worrisome things looming on the horizon. You know, one has to also trust human nature, as difficult as that sometimes can be, that there's so many wonderful people who are really out there to change the world one person at a time. You know, one can't compare the situation today with what Bartok was going through, having escaped that part of the world with the rise of the Nazis. So, no comparison. But I think it's important. It remains an essential mission for everyone. And you know, nothing is too small to matter. And so again, one person at a time, one act of kindness at a time. I mean, it seems to be, you know, we've heard this before, but it's so significant, and it can make such a difference and has such an impact on people around you. And that's all you can do. That's where you can start.
What specifically are you doing these days with your activism, and how do you balance being a concert pianist, which is so demanding, with these other things that you believe in?
Well, at the moment, I'm in a phase of transition, having, you know, moved from one coast to the other. So a lot of things have to be reorganized and rebalanced, in fact. But I think for me at this time, there is less initiative than there used to be, but there is the willingness to always be available for a cause that needs help and awareness. You know, but it will, of course, continue to metamorphose through the next few years, and one just has to, I think, make oneself available. That's the, you know, the least one can do, is trying to give back whenever possible.
I just want to ask you some pianistic questions from a, you know, an audience member standpoint. This Bartok seems so challenging in terms of all the technique, the rhythm being incredibly close with the orchestra. What do you find particularly helpful in your performance of this piece, or in your preparation of the piece?
Well, I find it to be the least demanding of his three piano concertos. There is a transparency to the textures, and you could say a simplicity, but something which is uncomplicated is not necessarily easy. I mean, look at Mozart, look at Schubert. As always with music, the most important is to, I was going to say to generate an emotion, but I'm not sure that's the right verb, because I don't think you're that responsible for doing that. You have to increase the odds through your preparation and through the togetherness with the partners on stage for something bigger than oneself to hopefully take place. It's like an invitation, and you hope that that the spirit will come to fill that space. Of course, there are all these rhythmical elements you really have to breathe together. All of these rhythmical elements are so intricate, because you take them from the orchestra, you give them back to the orchestra, and so it has to be, you have to be one, absolutely. And it's not a matter of even rhythm. It's a matter of spine. It's the bone structure of the interpretation in this case. And so that's quite tricky. You have to find that ensemble, and then of course all of the colors and all of the inflections of the phrase and the liveliness of the expression. There's something that has to be so, well, I believe actually with all repertoire there has to be this element of freshness, that makes it sound as if the piece is being written while you hear it. It's a big responsibility, but we all share this, and I'm again very lucky to have the Philadelphia Orchestra and Yannick as partners for this.
You are a favorite collaborator with the Philadelphia Orchestra and Yannick. What makes music making with Yannick so special for you?
It is the honesty, the authenticity, and then this incredible energy. this kindness, this inspiration. There is something that he gives so much when he's conducting. And what I've always so admired with Yannick is this wonderful balance, and that's so hard to achieve, but this wonderful balance between this keen musical intelligence and understanding penetration of the text and this emotionality and this energy. It's something that, you know, I mean, Yannick's presence has the, you know, the power to resuscitate someone. And so that's it's really a gift to be around.
I would like to have that secret, I think.
You're absolutely right, because it never diminishes. So he has access to this vital force, and it tells you a lot about who he is.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. You too have an incredible vital force and just gorgeous music making. Thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Oh, I thank you. Thank you for your words. They mean a lot to me. Thanks.